All right. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers animated podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are finishing up the second season of Transformers Animated with A Bridge Too Close, Part 2. Now see, what they should have called this was A Bridge Too Close.
Oh, I would have... Oh, man. I don't know what I would have done at that point. I would have just...
Flipped a table like Prowl?
But
yes, then I would have flipped a table like Prowl.
They would have had to call last episode A Bridge Close. Or Close Bridge?
No. I mean, they already failed to call the... To call Age of Extinction Transformers, so... Obviously, they're just, as a franchise, they are not on top of this sort of thing.
Yeah, and they missed Planet of the Earth.
Too Bridge Too Close.
Too Bridge Too Close.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, say what you will about that that Fast and the Furious, but that is a franchise that knows how to make ridiculous sequel names.
Yeah.
Yes. So good.
I mean,
so good.
The eighth one was called The Fate of the Furious.
Yes. Oh, so good.
It featured a Jason Statham fist fighting a bunch of guys on a crashing plane whilst carrying a baby. Anyway, this first aired June 20th. Oh.
I haven't actually gotten around to watching any of those movies, like, properly, but I feel like I really should because I discovered that at least one of them has Luke Evans in it.
A couple of them. In fact, Luke Evans plays Jason Statham's brother.
Well, there you go. See, now I need to watch
and
it.
And somehow they are both the sons of Helen Mirren.
Sure. Sure.
I think there's got to be an adoption in there somehow. I don't think that works genetically.
No.
There is nothing you could combine Helen Mirren DNA with to produce Jason Statham. Maybe an actual rock.
Awesome.
You combine Helen Mirren's DNA with a slab of granite, and you will get Jason Statham.
Okay, I apologize for my Luke Evans-related side there.
First aired June 28th, same as the last episode. They both aired in a single block in Canada before they aired in the States.
Aha! I forgot that. I'm sure I probably downloaded it or something.
I'm sure. I mean, we had YouTube back then. Like, just. Yeah. And this is written by showrunner Marty Eisenberg, who would, of course, go on to... I know, wrote many episodes before this. Although, strangely enough, this is the last episode of the show he wrote.
Huh.
Although he would go on to also write several episodes of Prime and Rescue Bots, strangely enough.
And he did some other, he wrote some other, like, related materials, didn't he? Like some comics?
Yes, he wrote there was an IDW comic book miniseries.
Jeez, do
there was a BotCon 2011 comic, and he also wrote the Nintendo DS game.
And didn't he, was he the one who wrote the Pac-In comic that came with Jetfire and Jetstorm?
Let me look that up. no, apparently, yes, he wrote that with Eric Siebenaller.
Aha!
Was, I believe, nice. Like a Transformers design guy.
Yes, he was one of the design guys. He's cool. I hang on with him.
He's now moved on to Star Wars.
That sounds right. He liked Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to dig up my copy of that, because it will come into play at some point in the third season.
Yeah, you know, when those characters actually show up.
Yes. So, previously, we get a nice previously on Transformers animated montage, and entertainingly enough, a lot of it is narrated by Blur delivering really fast exposition.
It's pretty cute.
Yes. Fast exposition. Exposit. Get that out of there like that. Duh. So, when we last saw our heroes, Sari and Ratchet were trying desperately to get the Autobot spaceship to work. Pretty much everybody else was glued to the walls by the Constructicons. And Megatron had just opened the space bridge, only to be confronted by Starscream and his other Starscreams.
His ex showed up with a posse.
Yep. Somebody's weave is getting torn out.
This is about turning into Jerry Springer's set up here.
Starscream, you are, unsurprisingly, the father. Given that they all look exactly like you.
Yeah.
Like, why did you even come on this show? He also, would the Cybertronian version of Jerry Springer be hosted by Springer?
That's a very good question.
I know that there is at least one Nebulan who is described as an obnoxious talk show host. I think it's Briscoe or somebody.
Huh.
It's one of the guys who goes with the 88 headmaster, so it's either Briscoe, Kreb, or... the
Monzo?
Other one. No, Monzo is with the 87.
Okay.
He's with Weird Wolf.
Anyway.
Okay, Briscoe, Kreb, and Locos. Who
there
I believe invented the caffeinated alcohol. Who invented caffeinated alcohol, which plagued Nebulos.
Yes.
He and his three brothers. So they dubbed their product Four Locos. And then he formed the popular Chicano rock band Los Locos.
No. I can't.
And then there was that time they menaced Johnny Five in Short Circuit 2. It's the last episode of the season. I'm getting a little goofy. So it is bad guy versus bad guy. We get a pretty amusing fight where we get, once again, the disparate personalities of the Starscream clones in full evidence. The liar Starscream gets defeated and captured and insists that he, in fact, only allowed them to capture him, and also he was not captured at all.
The laser noises that the Starscreams have is... Where the hell do I know that noise from? It's
just sound like...
It's like... It's not a Star Trek noise? Or Star Wars noise? It's... Something... else.
And that's surprising, because they got... At least on Generation 1, they got a ton of mileage out of those Star Wars noises.
Yes.
Yeah, which is why it confuses me, because it's... Maybe it's Battlestar Galactica noise? It's a familiar sound.
Like, I think Ben Burtt should get a royalty from those old episodes.
Well, a lot of old cartoons back then should. But yeah, it's a laser zappy noise that I know I've heard before, but not from anything I've seen recently. Mm. Oh, and during the kerfuffle fight, Sumdac and Bulkhead are arguing about whose fault this is. You built the working space bridge. It's like, well, I'm not the one who rebuilt Megatron, so they're just sassing each other about their...
Yeah, like, take that.
Yes.
Who's more complicit in this nightmarish space evil?
I built the ultimate tool for evil, but you built the evil after we blew up the evil 50 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
So yeah, this fight is pretty cool. There are a lot of moving parts. The Constructicons really don't want to get involved, but then somebody shoots their oil, so we get a real, alright, that's it.
They're still entirely motivated by nothing but oil.
Yes.
These
guys are problem alcoholics.
Yes. They definitely...
They do not need to be defeated, they need an intervention.
They really do.
And in this chaos, Blur, Thundercracker, and Skywarp both get enveloped in a giant blob of cement goop and just get tossed into the space bridge. And they can't even pull them back because the coordinates weren't set. They were just sent anywhere.
You know, just somewhere.
Hey, thanks for selling those new toys.
This does sort of...
See you later, John Machida.
Yeah, he sure did come and go too fast. He's such a good design, though. It does sort of... It occurred to me, and I don't think this even occurred to me when it first aired, but Shockwave is very much playing his G1 role of being the guy working on the space bridge from the other end.
Oh yeah, quite literally. At one point,
because that was basically what he did in season one of G1.
I think he even says almost exactly one of the same lines, like, we're ready to receive or something.
Yes. And I'd have to watch those old episodes, but that is...
But yeah,
I think
that
we both
really
paused at the same time there.
That really sunk in at the point where, you know, Megatron's going to send a test subject, a volunteer through. I was like, hey, that's what he did with G1 Bumblebee in that episode of G1.
Transport to Oblivion.
Yes, transport to Oblivion.
I believe he uses the phrase guinea pigatron in that one.
Oh my god, yes. Guinea pigatron. Why?
I mean, that was... they don't really do it on this, which is kind of surprising for how G1E it is. Mm-hmm. But a lot of use an Earth expression, but add a robot-y word to,
yeah, we don't... get that
to make it sound more spacey.
In this, they more just use a completely mechanical word, whether or not it's actually relevant to what's replacing or not. Like kicking a spark plug.
Many of them are related to the spark plug.
Yes.
Yep. So yeah, that is it for two of our Starscreams and our blur.
Alas.
Yeah. So soon it is just Megatron v Starscream, and Megatron gets shot from behind. And so we get a little... And so Optimus Prime has to come to Megatron's rescue, and we get a little Megatron and Optimus teaming up back to back, and it's pretty sweet. And this works right up until Megatron grabs Prime and uses him as a human shield.
Yeah, well, a robot shield.
Mm-hmm. Yes. meanwhile, on Dinobot Island, they've finally got all those the Allspark fragments into the Teletran 1. Sari jumpstarts the ship, and surprisingly, it starts talking to them.
I don't understand why Sari is so surprised by this.
Yeah, because Ratchet was...
I mean, I guess it's...
Kind of, yeah, because they're robots and things, and Ratchet even says they're putting them in the spark chamber.
Yeah. So indeed, it, and it is
like,
talking
I feel maybe, like she should be used to these sort of things.
Yes. And it is talking to them in the voice of, Kevin Michael Richardson.
Yay!
Who we will eventually see quite a lot of on, in Transformers.
And in this case, it does, again, it sounds a decent bit like G1, but in this case, you know, it being a different voice actor, but also more emoting and acting. Because Omega Supreme in G1 was very deadpan.
Yes. Well, and he had a verbal tic most of the time, where he would, all his sentences would be, two words.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they dropped that in, the episode, The Secret of Omega Supreme, because he has to give a huge amount of exposition in a flashback. Which would have been hilarious if he only did it in two-word sentences.
I think it's one of those things like Blaster or Roadblock on G.I. Joe talking in rhyme, but only, like, when the writers feel like it.
Less racist?
Oh, yes, also less racist. In the 80s.
And yes, we will note here, this is Kevin Michael Richardson, who is... kind of the size of Omega Supreme, and usually plays characters who are.
Yeah, like Bulkhead in Transformers Prime.
Yes. And apparently he also had a couple of lines in Revenge of the Fallen.
Ooh, that's cool.
He's one of the Constructicons and one of the Primes in that flashback scene that Shia LaBeouf has. He's carrying around the Matrix sock.
Terrible, ridiculous. Oh my god. I want to go back to forgetting that that was a thing.
Oh, keep those Patreon pledges coming in, listeners, and we may eventually have to rewatch those movies.
Yeah. I guess for money.
That's right. So yeah, we are still not naming the ship here, but Ratchet says, you know, the ship used to be like an actual person, and they sacrificed a spark to win the Great War, and so we've kind of been riding around in this coma patient for years, which is weird.
It's a little weird.
Was that like his final wish? If I perish, use my body as a repair van.
I mean, you know, you got this perfectly good ship lying around. Honestly, the whole idea of, like, Transformers vehicles is that there's so much potential there. It's like the thing I've mentioned before about how I really like stuff about Metroplex just being this guy who's super lonely because no one ever talks to him because he's the city. And so I like that sort of thing with Transformers vehicles. Like, are they people too? Are they like, if they don't transform, do they have like an AI that's just an AI and not like a person? And this could be some very interesting fiction to delve into.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm a huge nerd.
So we're still fighting in the mine. Megatron wants Mixmaster to focus his efforts on the head Starscream. And Professor Semtex is all, hey, head Starscream. So he gets into the headmaster unit, slices off Starscream's head, and takes over Starscream's body. And yes, we do get Professor Sumdack saying, total ownage, noob.
It's pretty cute. It's pretty terrible.
So weird. It's only now that I realize that the headmaster and Starscream's color schemes perfectly match.
Yes. It's great. And unfortunately, it doesn't really fit on the toy.
No, not really. It's a long head, and he's got his shoulders aren't good for.
Alas.
Oh, and there's some really good animation here, like Megatron's hitting someone with a sword, I think.
Yeah, the animation in this episode is quite nice for the most part.
Yeah, some of the fight bits are really good.
Yeah, I really wanted to see some deck as mecha pilot, but it doesn't last very long.
No, he just gets blasted right off. Amusingly, right before this, we actually see the headmaster unit change its facial expression, which it never does. It's all yikes.
It never stops looking smug.
No. So now Starscream is, he's still decapitated, and so the remaining clones just decide that to throw their lot in with Megatron. So this is bad.
Oh no, Starscream has betrayed himself.
Because, after all, at heart, they are Starscream.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the one characteristic that they all share is his treachery.
Yes.
Although the Ramjet claims that he will be loyal to Starscream forever and then kicks him.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
That is such a Starscream thing.
It's such a Starscream thing that's kind of what Starscream does in Transformers the movie.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Kind of what he does to Megatron.
You know, Megatron's all busting up, and then he kicks himself, even though he kind of had to blow off his own foot, like, 5 minutes earlier.
Oh, yeah. I was forgetting about
that. He's a fast healer.
Apparently. Or he didn't hurt it that bad, but he was just, you know, whining about it.
just complaining about it because he's Starscream.
Yeah.
So, back on Dinobot Island, Ratchet and Sari have activated the ship. It takes off, and they are off to let the battle be joined, which they need to because everybody's kind of screwed now. Everybody's in stasis cuffs. Professor Sumdac is under arrest, and Lugnut and Blitzwing are back.
Yeah, and as Bumblebee puts it to Bulkhead, the one thing you're good at is going to hand the Cybertron over to the Decepticons.
Yep.
Oops.
But while this is happening, of course, Prowl has a plan, and his plan is humming.
So he says he's trying to do some, like, mind over matter thing.
Because he's going to use...
But I'm pretty sure what that would normally do is just, like, let you dislocate your thumb and not be, like, screaming from the pain of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This almost... It's almost so specific, I have to assume it's from, like, some 70s kung fu movie.
I think it's just sort of a general, like, that kind of magic-y kung fu sort of thing. You know, in general.
And it also turns out that Prowl never actually finished his ninja training.
Prowl!
We've been palling around with a second-rate ninja all this time, like finding out that the priest who married you didn't actually have his credentials.
Dun-dun.
So now all those people who he ninja married are... All their marriages are null and void.
Oops.
And they're going to have to decide if they're going to be have another ninja wedding on a very special episode. So Megatron gets to monologuing Bond villain style and says, you know, I'm going to take over the whole space bridge network, going to take the conquer Cybertron. But Bulkhead, because he knows space bridges, says that you need somebody on the other end. You can't just teleport guys in.
Yeah.
But hey, somebody is on Cybertron, and Bumblebee assumes that that is Wasp, but as we know, Wasp is too crazy to basically do anything. And he wasn't even a real spy.
And he's also in prison again. Or no, wait a minute, he's on a rock on an asteroid somewhere, I think? Yeah.
Yeah, he's just somewhere. He's going to show up in Season 3.
Yeah.
But, hey, because everybody's going to die anyway, here's our real double agent. It's your old buddy Longarm. Who is really Shockwave, and Corey Burton changes voices in mid-sentence, and it's very impressive.
It's pretty good.
Yes.
And then he transforms, and it's like, oh no! It's Longarm. We knew that. And then you get a brief moment.
But still, I really love that transformation sequence.
You get a brief moment of Bumblebee and Bulkhead realizing they sent the wrong guy to the stockades. Oops.
Yep. That's a big oops. I mean, he was a dick, but still.
I do appreciate that they take a moment to acknowledge that and be distressed about that before things go back to falling apart.
And you know Bulkhead would feel really bad about that.
Yes. Oh, man, he would, because he's such a good
Bumblebee,
boy.
Maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Well, it's more Bumblebee's fault anyway. Anyway, Shockwave is ready to receive what Megatron's ready to give.
Yeah.
Which is Optimus Prime, who Megatron is holding him, and Prime looks so tiny, and is Megatron holding Prime by his ass?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Poor guy.
Is this symbolic?
Cling to my buttocks. Cling tenaciously to my buttocks, Megatron. But hey, good news, here comes the Autobot ship.
Yay!
And it kind of shows that it's been stuck either under a lake or in a volcano for a long time, because it just gets shot down.
Aww. Well, you know,
and also, I think it's here that Lugnut fires his forearms at it.
It's clearly not designed for atmospheric travel. There's a big difference between what a ship would need to be like to travel in interstellar space and travel in planetary atmosphere. I'm just saying. That's a thing.
Still, it's got like six guns shooting at it.
Yeah. I think last episode Lugnut also fired his fists that are the giant missiles before he got beat up. Which yes. is just so weird. His,
like, I hope he can get those back.
I guess he's got rocket punches? Well, he does have rocket punches with the
I guess.
Punch to kill everything. It's just he can also shoot them off and they come back? Or they grow back?
Yeah.
I mean, there is like a noted Japanese giant robot that fires its fists, right?
It is tradition.
Okay.
It's been around since, like, the second giant robot, I think?
Right, like Gigantor or something?
No, Gigantor didn't have rocket fists. Mazinger Z did. I think Gigantor...
Mazinger Z, okay.
Oh, wait, but... Yeah, Gigantor came first, but it wasn't piloted. Mazinger Z, the first piloted robot, and it had robot fists.
Okay, yeah. And does he just have, like, a supply of fists, or does he have to have the fists come back to him?
They come back, normally.
Okay.
Although, in at least one series, there's a scene where he shoots a rocket punch, and then, like, 100 other rocket punches come from behind him at his base.
That's pretty cool.
So you just summon, like, infinite punches.
To me, my spare hands.
Yeah. There's also, is it the same one? There's a Mazinger Z where he transforms and curls up into a giant fist. Like, his arms and some attachments on the back just become a giant fist. It's awesome.
So, obviously the ship isn't enough to do this. You gotta, Ratchet has to activate the emergency defense system, codenamed Omega.
Oh.
Because, surprise, surprise, it's not just a living ship. It's a transformer.
Yay!
It is Omega Supreme.
I would just like to point out that this whole time, he's been, like, he's super gloomy and, like, anxious about everything, and oh my god, I feel him so much. Just Omega Supreme is just, like, he's like Cerebros in Rebirth. You know, and at the end, he's like, just kill me.
Yes.
And it's the best, because I like stories about people being miserable.
And Asari has to exhort him not to shoot her dad, but Omega Supreme is all, okay, what's a dad?
He tries.
Anyway, I do love this Omega Supreme design.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it never got a toy.
Yeah.
Either you'd have to make him like a playset, or he'd have to be like too small.
Like, it's weird that it didn't get a toy, because this is definitely, like, if this had a toy, this would be a toy shilling episode.
Yeah. Except then, well, it ends, but.
I mean, he'd obviously have to be too small, but I'd even accept like one the size of like Ultra Magnus or something.
Yeah.
That would be okay.
Yes. I mean, ideally he would be, well, for budgetary, like those giant Stormtrooper and Darth Vaders they have now.
Oh, like a...
They're 3 feet tall.
I just want to hug
him. And all of the plastic usage of a shampoo bottle.
I want to hug him. I just want a toy of him so I can hug him.
Well, be careful, because he definitely has giant cannons for hands.
Well, okay, yeah, but yeah. Still.
And so this kind of becomes the Dinobots v. Unicron fight from the movie, except we're rooting for Unicron.
Ooh.
So Slipstream just fires into his knees and he falls down because he's an old man and everybody knows the knees are your first thing to go.
Well, it's because he's large.
But then Ratchet is, I guess, drift compatible with Omega.
I mean, doesn't that turn out to be kind of why he's there in the first place? Is because he's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we eventually find out he's like linked to him. And we just start Pacific Rimming this thing. And then Omega Supreme just starts kicking everybody's ass.
Yay!
Yeah, it's like, wait, does he shoot Omega beams?
Probably.
Well, one blast that he hits Lugnut with is like a, almost a Dragon Ball Z disintegration effect. Although then you see Lugnut just flying off in the distance.
Well, speaking of the comic covers we were talking about in the previous episode, it's kind of like that one Days of Future Past issue where that Sentinel is vaporizing Wolverine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. that's pretty much
except, yes, in the next shot, we hilariously see Lugnut and his scattered body parts flying off into the distance. And Omega Supreme also headbutts one of the Decepticons, which is great.
Yes, because he's huge.
Yeah, isn't it Blitzwing? Which, it seems like not a good move. How fast can Omega Supreme move? Like, shouldn't anybody have been able to fly out of the way?
I mean, he's pretty fast for a big guy.
Like, you see something that big coming, you move out of the way. Go straight up.
I mean, he's pretty close when he hits him, though. So back of the mine, this space bridge is still working. The Constructicons have cleared all the debris off it. And he's finally gonna chuck Optimus Prime through this thing.
It's only kinda working. It starts to work less and less.
Yes.
So they have to find a way to give it more power, and they've been powering it with an all-spark fragment?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need another all-spark fragment. Where is there one?
Oh, but before this, once again, Prowl, we're two for two in this finale. Because
Prowl.
His crazy ninja thing actually works. He gets out of his handcuffs, and then he throws off one of his ninja stars that breaks Optimus Prime's cuffs.
And like I said, the whole mind over matter thing should just make it where he can, like, dislocate his thumb or something and get out of it. It's not telekinesis. But then he just does telekinesis.
It kind of is. It's just the Force.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he ends up doing.
He's using the Force.
He's using the Force.
But his training is not complete.
Well, he calls it mind over processor.
Or processor over matter.
Something like that. But
because robots.
Yes.
Although I get the feeling he's not actually successfully doing that. I think he's just humming at the right frequency that shuts off the cuffs.
Maybe.
Like there's a deactivation noise and he just
accidentally hits it. It's like the old school, like hacking over the phone where you just make a sound that's exactly like the right tone to do whatever needs to be done.
All right, phone freaking, which you...
Oh, like that guy who hacked the phone system with a Captain Crunch whistle?
Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
Wasn't
like
that the co-founder of Apple? Wozniak?
Maybe.
I think.
I know there was a specific guy who they called Captain Crunch.
I don't...
And then I think he was the basis for the blind guy in sneakers.
Probably.
Oh.
Is that Wozniak? Damn it.
Because I don't know if it was specifically the Captain Crunch guy, but there was, like, one of those early phone freaks who was blind but had perfect pitch.
Mm. Nice.
So he could precisely replicate, like, the sounds that would activate the phone grid.
Nice.
Oh.
This should make me want to watch sneakers.
Somebody called John Draper.
Aha.
John Draper?
Yeah, not Don Draper, John.
Are you sure he isn't like a secret ad man in 60s New York?
No, well, he looks like he could be an ad man who let his hair grow out and has a magnificent 70s mustache. Or 60s mustache.
The carousel. Now, nostalgia, it's the Greek, it means the wound that will not heal. So the Kodak carousel, it...
What?
Travels the way a child travels. Round and round, back to a place where we ache to be.
Even prose poetry? What the hell?
I really like that episode of Mad Men where he's pitching that slide projector.
Oh, Mad Men, okay.
I cry every time. It's embarrassing.
Reblog if you cry every time.
I've only seen the musical number.
I mean, that is a good musical number. I mean, most episodes of Mad Men do not contain a musical number. Anyway, so Prime is out of here. The space bridge shuts down. We gotta have more poor Captain. And so the closest source of Allspark fragments is indeed Starscream's noggin.
Yay!
And so he shoves it into the power core, head and all.
Poor guy. I almost feel bad for Starscream at this point, but not really, because he's still Starscream.
Yes. Well, it's time to feel bad for everybody, because, to quote the immortal Philip J. Fry, it's like a balloon, and something bad happens.
Yeah, sure. Which, well, yeah, something bad does happen. having another, I'm not sure if it's having another AllSpark fragment or just having Starscream's ego in there overloads the little gate thing.
So it just starts sucking in. It's kind of like that. It is much like Transport to Oblivion, where the space bridge just sucks in like a bunch of dirt and rocks and stuff.
Ooh.
Yes.
Whenever they turn it on, which we never see on the other end. Is Shockwave just sweeping aside a bunch of dirt and rocks before it brings whoever it's supposed to send?
Maybe that's what that's part of his job.
That is a good question. But here it's just it. No location.
Please, Megatron, I am very tired of sweeping up all these dirt and rocks and the occasional coyote. Anyway, so yeah, it's just pulling in everything. Dirt, rocks, computers.
And surprisingly not any robots. Everybody has just enough chance to grab onto something, even the Constructicons.
Yes.
Although Optimus Prime has his axe, Megatron has his sword.
And making things worse, Shock, apparently this also screwed with the destination code. So now whatever gets sucked in here is just getting sent wherever.
Oops.
So Megatron's about to finish off Prime, and he's all, well, you know, you ruined my plan.
So yeah, it's just getting sucked into space.
Yep. I'm just going to murder you, even though everything, it's not like it even matters anymore. But Prime puts the stasis cuffs on Megatron, he's immobilized, and he just gets sucked into this vortex.
Yep. Goodbye, Megatron. Never to be seen again.
So that's it for Megatron, and I believe the chunk, the machinery is also in there, so Starscream's head is in there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it sucks in the power source and still is working.
Yes.
Somehow.
I mean, I think it's the thing is it's sort of become self-sustaining at this point.
Stable.
It's less a space bridge and more like a space anomaly.
Guess. Just a little weird.
Dun dun.
And so, as I believe Bulkhead says, the entire state of Michigan is about to get sucked into this thing. Yes. Both upper and lower peninsulas.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to need some... So
don't want to lose the UP. Got all that copper up there.
Oh,
I mean, not anymore.
Oh. I don't know, all those bears, I guess. And Bob Seger master tapes.
So in old cartoon logic, to stop the black hole, we have to overfeed it.
Yep. So Omega Supreme, he's going to sacrifice himself again. And he is going to jump into this anomaly and absorb its transwarp energies.
No! He's too sad.
And Ratchet is all, come on, I just brought you back online.
He's too tragic and I can't deal with it.
So Ratchet and Sari just get ejected out of Omega's calf.
And then Omega gets painfully crunched into the vortex. It does not look pleasant at all.
Oh, he's going to need a deep tissue massage after that. His back is wrecked.
Yeah, he's been sucked into the dead lights.
Yep. So, of course, now that space bridge was, I guess, load-bearing, because this mine just starts collapsing. Everybody rolls out to safety, except for the Constructicons, who are buried alive, trying to save their precious, precious booze.
Such alcoholics. What the hell, guys? There's more oil on... There's more oil on the outside!
They gotta save it!
It's like that...
they're not good. They need help.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer's trying to get rid of that incredibly dangerous firecracker, tosses it in the fridge, oh no, the beer! And then pulls it back out.
Well, he closed himself inside the fridge with beer and the bomb.
And Bulkhead, ever the optimist, says that, you know, Omega's out there somewhere. And we have a nice heartfelt father-daughter reunion. I mean, he is. We see him next season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bulkhead's actually, I mean, hey, if anybody knows something about getting sucked into a space bridge, it's probably Bulkhead.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is a textbook case of a huge dude getting sucked into a space bridge. He's definitely out there somewhere. It's standard huge dude space bridge theory.
Give him long enough to do the math, and he could possibly even tell you where. It's a lot of math, though.
Yep. So, yeah, sorry, of course. She knew all along that, you know, her dad wouldn't sell them out to the Decepticons. He'd never betray them. And, also, she's a robot.
She trusts him. He's the most honest person ever.
After all this time, her elbow gets scratched and underneath.
Oh, and also I'm a Terminator.
Blackness.
Glowy circuitry.
I mean, somehow Sari has... Yeah, somehow despite Sari being a titch reckless...
An energetic, rambunctious child. She's never skinned her knee before.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, this does look like a fairly deep tissue wound.
Yeah, it's also a question, how did she not notice that happening?
I mean, a lot of stuff was going on. There was a space bridge, there were Constructicons, ninja stuff was happening. Yeah. You know, you're not going to notice what happened to maybe your elbow.
And maybe it didn't hurt that much because, you know,
robot?
It was robot stuff under that. Well, you know.
So we get some pretty good animation here where Sari is... kind of freaked out by this, and some Dax all, we gotta
yes.
talk.
Cut away. No! Don't cut away. What? Well, we cut away.
Better hope the show's renewed, kids.
Although we do cut away to what... If this had been the end of animated, I would have been satisfied with the last scene.
Yep.
Because it's a great scene.
Yep, because we are in the endless emptiness of space. And it's Megatron... And Starscream's head,
yes.
And they're just bitching at each other.
Yes, and
forever.
Yes, the first time that it's happened, like they're going into
as the credits roll. Bubble.
Like that. That happens occasionally in anime, but I don't remember it ever happening in Transformers or pretty much almost any Western animation before. Well,
and apparently this was mostly improvised.
I mean, it's
fitting.
Oh, that's great.
And it is
really,
it is
really, really cool that they did that, that they had that special ending for that one episode.
Yes.
If this is improv, it's some of the best improv ever. Like, Megatron has a line where he says, you want to spend the rest of eternity, do I want to spend the rest of eternity staring at your, gazing at your unsightly visage? Improving visage.
I mean, that's definitely a word that Megatron would use.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah, that is the episode, and that is the season. This was a very satisfying finale. I still don't think I like it quite as much as Megatron Rising, but it's a lot of fun.
I think I kind of have more fun. It doesn't, like, not as many threads come together, because, like, the space bridge bulkhead stuff comes out of left field, but I don't know, it's fun.
And also, Megatron isn't quite, and that episode, or that season spent the whole thing building up to what a terrifying, nightmarish threat Megatron was. And I mean, you just can't replicate that.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't have that, but it's a lot of fun. You get the multiple Starscreams in there, who I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, that's great. It feels like a lesser Beast Wars season finale.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely get some Beast Wars vibes off it. And, you definitely... And, obviously, you know, the voice actors are all bringing it in this one.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely some A-game voice work.
And we get a surprising amount of pathos out of Omega Supreme.
Oh, my God, Omega Supreme.
Yes.
My baby.
I mean, I've always been surprised by how much, like, even in the Generation 1 cartoon, they get a fair amount of pathos out of Omega Supreme, which is surprising because he's, like, a big, sort of, inhuman-looking character.
He's one of the only Transformers to ever cry, which makes even less sense the way his face is set up.
Yes, yes, he...
Yes.
Well, I mean, his toy doesn't even have, like, a face. So, yeah, this season has been a lot of fun. I think this might be the best season of Transformers animated.
Yeah, it's got Swindle.
It's pretty good. I don't know.
It does have the Swindle episode, and it has a lot of supervillains, which I enjoy.
I'm waiting for, I'm waiting to see how season 3 held up, but yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in so long. I remember not liking it quite as much, but I'm interested to see how it goes.
I really don't remember anything other than the twins. I don't remember much about them. I just remember they were there and I had the toys.
Well, see, I found them very unmemorable.
I remember Decepticon Air and then the one where Fanzone is on Cybertron.
Yeah, this is why I hate machines.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I don't even remember that at all.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Well, yeah.
Oh. Well, you are in for a treat. So that is it for this season, and that is it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed joining us this season, and certainly events made this season more more difficult than we expected. And you know, the show, it'll never quite be the same for any of us, but we are going to keep going, and we hope that you'll join us as well, and we hope
yeah,
you enjoy it.
We'll be here for season 3, and
so. Next week, we will be having one of our customary inter-season weirdo episodes. And yeah. So, I don't think we've decided what we're going to do between seasons yet. But,
no, we haven't really discussed
it. We certainly hope you enjoy it, and hopefully David doesn't inflict something terrible on us when we can't decide.
No, you guys can pick this time. I'm getting my kimono friends out on the Patreons. That's
yes. And actually,
oh, we should do Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
I can't even with you people. I cannot even. One of these days, gonna be up to me, and we're just gonna watch 90s Spider-Man all the time.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I can take that.
But until then, until that day, when all are one, Shocker! You can't escape me! I'll chase you to the ends of the earth!
See, I'm a Warcraft person, so to the ends of the earth is a different thing.
So until next time, you can find us all over the internet. We're on Tumblr, we're on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And, of course, we have a Patreon set up. Currently, we have an episode on the second episode.
And we are hosted on iaconunderground.net.
We have an episode on the second episode of Kimono Friends. And,
lagging behind.
Yeah, I think.
Anyway, yeah, Kimono Friends, yes. We got Patreon, we got 5 episodes up now. That's...
I think we can
large
say,
chunks
I think,
of content. That's probably like 4 hours.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure we can fix it in post production, but
anyway.
I'm trying to account for
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm. So yes, and by the time you listen to this, there may very well be another bonus episode up. What will it be on? Who knows? But it's October, so it'll be something spooky.
No.
Perhaps even spoopy.
No.
Y'all, I need to watch that Geostorm movie. Geostorm. That movie, it looks amazing. And by that I mean terrible.
Oh,
and by that I mean amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to see it. I don't know if I'm going to spend money to see it.
Nope.
It's a definite, I'm on Netflix, it's Sunday afternoon, I have literally nothing else to do. It's time for some Gerard Butler. But until next time, when we cover an episode of a yet-to-be-determined show, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
闇の彼方静寂を引き裂き星の眠り呼び起こすのはどっちだ虎目の前邪悪な魂たち行き場はないまっすぐに受け止めろ闇の脇や恐れを処理して僕らは意識組み替えるその手を強く握り互いの絆信じて戦え
You're coming in weird again.
You're freaking up really bad now.
Ah! It's probably because I've downloaded a few riff tracks recently. Okay, I don't find something. Now I'm supposed to have 20 gigabytes free. Zencaster complaining, do I sound weird now?
A little bit, but...
Much better. It no longer sounds like you're being remixed by Daft Punk.
Aw.
Okay.
Weird. That's disappointing.
Wait, let me move one of the riff tracks over to the...
Listen, I just want to find out about that Daft Punk guy on that new Star Trek.
I was only half watching, so I kind of missed him for most of it.
I have not seen any of this new Star Trek. Apparently, money is required, and that's just silly.
The first episode was free. It's like, the first hit's free, and then you got to pay for the rest of it. And it's like,
oh.
And it also ends on a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Nice, thanks.
It's just on regular TV here in Canada, so that's nice.
I've heard it's on Netflix in
other countries.
Most other parts of the world.
Yes, it's on basic cable here and also on Crave TV, which is kind of like our Hulu.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So they make you pay and then they still show ads?
No, they do not. It's like Netflix,
well,
I guess.
That's what this bullshit is. This CBS bullshit is you pay $6, you still get commercials. Pay $10 and... I'm not sure if it's you don't get commercials or you only get CBS commercials.
No.
So it's
I'd almost rather have more than commercials from just CBS. Because, you know, they're just trying to get you to watch Young Sheldon.
Presumably there are fewer commercials. I mean, when I watch HBO Go, it's like you get one commercial for some HBO thing, and then you get to watch Dragons and shit.
Okay, yeah, no, we just have the two streaming services up here, and both of them, as far as I can tell, are entirely commercial-free.
Yeah, Hulu is just... I don't know why anyone would pay for Hulu.
Hulu's garbage.
Because you still get commercials.
Yeah.
And I find that morally offensive.
Oh, maybe...
Either I am the customer, or I am the product. I do not appreciate being both.
Well, I'm ready to roll whenever everybody else is.
Yep. Trying to delete a couple extra other things. I guess I don't need all my brother and me's that I haven't gotten to yet. There we go. Now I got 30 gigabytes free. Yay.
Okay.
Good job.
Now it should stop frickin' bitching at me for a while.
You need to just get an external drive for all your crap you know you're never going to watch but can't actually bring yourself to get rid of.
Probably, yeah.
It's like renting a storage unit.
Well,
yeah.
I used to burn off CDs and DVDs, but then I got this computer and there was so much room and now there isn't anymore.
technology marches on. Anyway, shall I start up?
Yep. Okay. I am ready for you to start up.
Okay.
Sit down, relax. Well, I guess that's the end of the episode. You know us, places, things. Rob, Jen. And I'm David.